I would like to pray the collect of the day again. Eternal Father, who at the baptism of Jesus didst reveal him as thy Son, as thy Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, mercifully grant that we, being regenerate by water and the Spirit, may live faithfully as thine adopted children, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the same Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Please be seated. Quite a few of you know that I did not grow up in the Episcopal Anglican tradition. And so in my tradition that I grew up in, we were baptized at a certain point when you figure that out for yourself exactly when that point is. And so for me and for many, maybe some of you felt the same way, growing up in the church and singing these wonderful, true songs like Jesus Loves Me, Jesus Loves Little Children of the World. But then at some point you realize, but I know that I need to be baptized because that's what God calls all his children to do, what he calls all his people to do. And so for me, as I started thinking more and more about that and not really understanding exactly what the right time was, where exactly was it that I was supposed to commit myself to this baptism that the Lord calls all his people to? Well, around 12 or 13, that really started to bother me, because here I am, a person who believes in Christ as Lord, and the Lord says to be baptized, but I've got two things that were holding me back that had me afraid and confused. First was I, as a 12, 13-year-old, perfectly understood my inability to fulfill all righteousness, to be perfect. And I had in my mind that baptism, I would be fully committing myself to following Christ, something I already wanted to do. And I thought, I know 12, 13-year-old me. I know 42-year-old me. And 13 and 42, and I'm pretty sure 92, is not going to be able to perfectly fulfill all righteousness. And so that scared me. I thought I needed to be perfect. I needed to fulfill all righteousness, at least, if not before baptism, certainly after baptism. So that was holding me back as a very young teenager. But eventually, kind people tried to help me understand, tried to explain better, told me that the Lord loves you and the Lord will continue to work on you, that he will give you his Holy Spirit and will work on you your whole life. And he knows that you're going to mess up. So I was still a little concerned, a little unsure, but I did know, I truly believe from a very young age that Christ loved me and I wanted to follow him. And that meant going into the baptismal water. And so around 14 or so, I overcame those initial concerns and fears and I went to be baptized. And on the day of my baptism, there were two things that really stood out to me that was going through my mind, 14-year-old me. One was remembering this passage that we read today about the heavens opening up and the Father declaring, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," and the Holy Spirit coming down. And so I am imagining walking into this water and being baptized. I'm wondering, are the heavens going to open up? Are angels going to sing? Is God going to say something like this? Am I going to be just totally different and totally changed? Am I going to follow the Lord so much better now? That was one thought going through my mind. The second, as I got into that cold, cold water, besides it being very cold, was looking and seeing a little water spider just floating around on top of the water and thinking to myself, that little spider does not belong here when the heavens are about to open up and God is going to sing. Well, when the heavens did open up and the spider was burned away, that did not happen. The heavens did not open up. The spider kept swimming. He didn't bother me. But I was still, even though all this great, mighty thing didn't happen like at Jesus' baptism, I was still comforted and happy and have been ever since to have been baptized. Today and this time of the year, for those of you that, like myself, that are newer to Anglicanism, we're in this season called Epiphany. We're also in year C, if you'd like to understand that in the prayer book. And Epiphany, it means manifestation. And so last week we looked at the manifestation of Jesus, who Jesus was to the Magi, these wise men, in other words, to the Gentiles. This week we're looking at a different focus of Jesus' manifestation as the Son of God. And even more than that, we see a clear manifestation of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in this passage. And so as we think about our baptism, as we renew our baptismal vows today, and we think about Jesus' baptism, there are some similarities and some big differences that are important to think about. The first question that Christians have always come to when they get to this passage, the initial question is, why is Jesus being baptized? A 4th century bishop, Maximus of Turin, put it this way: what sort of baptism is this, when the one who is dipped is purer than the water itself? John the Baptist, when Jesus comes to be baptized, says, why are you coming to me? I'm not worthy to baptize you. I need to be baptized by you. And earlier he calls him, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. What he's referring to is that Old Testament sacrificial lamb for atonement, for forgiveness of sins, who had to be perfect, spotless, no issues with that lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who is purer than the water itself. Why is he coming to baptism? In the Matthew passage that also gives this account, Matthew tells us, Jesus gives an answer, which is helpful, although it still leaves us a little bit wondering what he means. And he says, I'm doing this to fulfill all righteousness. What does that mean? The late theologian R.C. Sproul puts it this way: John's baptism was a command God gave to his people, and so it had to be obeyed. If our Savior had neglected this rule, his obedience to his Father would have been lacking, and he could not have saved us. So Jesus was fulfilling all righteousness and fulfilling all of God's law, all of God's command for mankind. And as we know, Jesus is fully man and fully God. Some of you may remember Nick Davis, who was here for a little while, and he helped out especially in our Saturday night services. He's doing really well down in Tucson. And recently he put a very good little article on a site called Core Christianity. He wrote an article called, Why Was Jesus Baptized? And one of the lines that he has in there I really liked. He says, Jesus' baptism initiates his ministry as the true and faithful Israel, who answered the call for righteousness perfectly. That righteousness that 12, 13-year-old me knew I couldn't fulfill, and all of us who are honest know that we can't fulfill, that Israel couldn't fulfill, Jesus fulfills. And part of that is here in this baptism. Another aspect of why Jesus is baptized is his coming down to us. Every religion, every faith in the world, and sometimes we mistakenly feel like we've got to get up to God. We even as Christians often are forgetting, and we're trying to be good enough, we're trying to climb that ladder to get to God, and we forget that our faith proclaims that he came down to us. We couldn't get up to him. So he came all the way down to us. And he came all the way down even in to those waters of baptism with us. Fred Sanders, a popular Trinitarian theologian, I believe he's at Biola, thinks about this, about him coming into that water with us, unlike the Pharisees and Sadducees, who did not want to participate in this baptism of John. The religious leaders, many of them of that day, Jesus came in. And Fred Sanders thinks about Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. And he says, Jesus was numbered with the transgressors. Do you see how right here at the very beginning of his public ministry, he is being numbered with the transgressors. Jesus joined us in the water because he and the Father were working out the plan of our salvation, and Jesus loved to do what pleased the Father. I don't often quote modern-day popes, but let me quote from Benedict XVI, because I think he says this very well. He adds to what we're hearing here. He says, Jesus inaugurated the public activity by stepping into the place of sinners. His inaugural gesture is an anticipation of the cross. He comes into the water with us, and he goes to the cross for us. And one other aspect of many aspects of why Jesus was baptized, why this one who is purer than the water is baptized, is we see his anointing, his endorsement, his confirmation of who he is, as who Jesus is, and of his ministry. Who he is as the Son of God, as a person of the triune God, as this suffering servant, as the king. Remember how the Old Testament kings were often anointed, and some, like Saul and David, had the heavens, even the Spirit coming down upon them. In Isaiah passage, the prophecy was fulfilled about Jesus, about this servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I put my Spirit upon him. Christians have always recognized that this was fulfillment of that Isaiah passage. It's Jesus' anointing for his ministry. So John's baptism prepared people for the coming kingdom of God, prepared them for this Messiah Jesus and his ministry. But John's baptism of repentance was not enough for those people or for us. We're baptized into the baptism of Christ, which means into the life of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're baptized into this triune life, more than just a baptism of repentance, but a baptism into Christ. Paul says to the Romans, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." To the Galatians he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So in this baptism of Christ, not only are sins remitted, but you, your whole life, the old you, the old Adam, even though you feel that frustration, that presence, that inability to fulfill all righteousness, that old sinful self is dead, and Christ is alive in you. It's a much better baptism than John's baptism. When the Father speaks from heaven, even though at your baptism like mine, probably the skies didn't part and open, and you didn't see the Holy Spirit coming down in a bodily form. But because you are in Christ, when the Father says, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," he's also speaking to you. You are my beloved Son. You are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. I want to conclude with the first two verses of a hymn that Luther wrote called "To Jordan Came Our Lord the Christ." I'd never heard it before. Maybe you have. I'm guessing probably quite a few of you haven't. "To Jordan came our Lord the Christ, to do God's pleasure willing. And there was by St. John baptized, all righteousness fulfilling. There did he consecrate a bath to wash away transgression and quench the bitterness of death by his own blood and passion. He would a new life give us. So hear ye all, and well perceive what God doth call baptism, and what a Christian should believe who error shuns and schism, that we should water use, the Lord declareth it his pleasure. Not simple water, but the word and the Spirit without measure. He is the true baptizer.